Let me try to describe for you the single greatest grocery store I've ever been in. It was the size of a small amusement park, and in one corner, there was a team of Mexican women making fresh tortillas. There was a produce section that had fresh green peanuts and fruits and vegetables I'd only ever seen in China, and lots of stuff I'd never seen before, period. There were more spices than like a Silk Road bazaar, and there were more brands of Korean pepper paste than I thought there were Korean people. It was incredible. And this store wasn't in New York, where I live, I wish, or in LA. It was in Memphis, across the street from a church with a 70-foot replica of the Statue of Liberty holding a gold cross instead of a torch. So forget the coasts. It's the South that has some of the fastest growing immigrant communities in the country. And some of these communities are a little less visible than others. If you've ever stayed in a motel in Georgia or in the Carolinas, chances are it was owned by an Indian immigrant from Gujarat. And if you didn't know it, it was by design. They often change their names from Rajiv to Rick, put Christmas trees in the lobby, and hire non-Indian desk staff. The Charleston Post and Courier's food editor and chief critic Hannah Raskin brings us this story she reported for Gravy, a podcast produced by the Southern Foodways Alliance.
If you want a room at the Days Inn in North Charleston, you have to bring your ID and credit card to the front desk. But one of the two tinted glass doors leading into the lobby is broken.
Give me your name, please.
That's Jaquel Gethers, who works at the desk. Every shift, she watches people impatiently tug on the wrong door. They're in a hurry. They want to get their key cards reset or drop off a package or see about catching a cab downtown. What they don't want to do is linger in the lobby, because mid-range hotel lobbies are boring. The Days Inn lobby is tidy and clean, but the only diversions are a TV tuned to a random movie channel, a brochure rack with coupons for the nearby outlet mall, and a water cooler.
Days Inn Airport, how may I help you?
For hotel guests, the lobby is the business end of a vacation or a love affair. For many hotel owners, though, the lobby is where their homes begin. And that's not just true of independent places with names like Southern Lodge or Seaside Inn. That's how it works at franchise hotels, too. Guests may not realize that the door behind or near a check-in desk doesn't lead to a closet or an office. It leads to an apartment.
Yeah, my name is Vimal Patel, and I am at Days Inn on West Montague in North Charleston, South Carolina. I've been here in North Charleston with this Days Inn for 15 years now.
And he lives on the premises.
We have an apartment. We have broke in between rooms, six rooms. Three bedrooms, one living room, one dining, one kitchen.
Vimal was born in Nairobi, but grew up in India, where his father was a dairy farmer. For a few years, he tried farming too. Then in 2001, he immigrated to the U.S.
So I had that wish that one day I would like to have my own hotel. After 9/11, it was a recession, and this place was for sale for quite a while, and we ended up getting it.
On its face, hotel ownership is kind of a surprising ambition. How does a man living in a country that has fewer hotels in Florida go from milking water buffalo to renting out rooms in Charleston? As it turns out, Vimal comes from a part of Gujarat state that has a long history of citizens leaving to work in travel industries abroad. In the early 1900s, so many Gujaratis worked as ticket agents and station masters in East Africa that the whole train system was nicknamed the Patel Railway. Now, there's a phenomenon known as Patel Motels. They're called that because so many Indian immigrant motel owners share the same last name. All these Patels are not related. The best estimate is that more than half of all the motels and hotels in America are owned by immigrants from a tiny part of Gujarat state. And in southeastern cities, such as Charleston, the figure is upward of 60%. One of the many other Mr. Patels running a hotel in the Charleston area is Jay Patel. He's owned the Star of America since 1988.
Nobody talks about it. No. Nobody talks about it. They say, oh, I stayed at a hotel yesterday. His name was Patel, too. I'm staying tomorrow at the hotel. His name, Patel. But they never get into the middle of how this happened. I think if they did understand it, I think they would start appreciating more, too, of what some of these ethnic groups are making impact to the American economic and the society.
Most of the rooms at the Star of America are rented by down-on-their-luck folks who make the motel their long-term home. Increasingly, Patels are running boutique hotels, trading up their motels near highway exits for in-town properties with pools and on-site restaurants. But there are still many Patel-owned motels that contract with city governments to take in veterans and other people who would be homeless without their help. That makes Patel motels an important part of the social safety net. But if you Google the term, you probably won't come up with a bunch of social media posts praising the Patels for their hospitality. You'll find complaints about curry.
For the entire 3 days, the room reeked of curry. The smell was so strong that even spraying deodorizer and opening the windows didn't help.
Listen to these Yelp reviews from Joy R., Bobby W., Andy O., and Cherry J.
Typical Patel motel. Walked into the lobby overwhelmed by strong smell of curry. As a black person, when I walked into the lobby, they stared at me as if I was interrupting their curry potluck.
Strong curry smell around the building and hallway, even my room. I called front desk to complain. I don't understand what the lady said, but something like, why you complain? Why people always complain? Things like that. Then I just hanged up. WTF.
And why are most motels owned by Indians?
Many Gujarati hotel owners make a point of cooking exactly the way they did in Gujarat. Because they are near their kitchens all day, they can make the pepper sauces and halva and dosas that many Gujaratis who work as doctors or engineers, whether here or in India, just buy on the way home. So they end up preserving important and old-fashioned aspects of a cuisine that's respected throughout Asia.
All over India, when you say Gujarati food, then it's the best food.
Jay Patel says there's a reason for this.
State of Gujarat is very strict vegetarian, and they grow their own produce. You know, it's a big farming state. So every house in the village, they'll grow their own peppers and ginger and garlic and dry and powder and everything right there. So, you know, you're getting the top quality. It's organic.
Jay Patel's pride in his Gujarati heritage is shared by his fellow motel owners. Even though it's hard for owners to get away from their motels, they'll see each other at religious and cultural events, organized partly so the immigrants' children will be as proud of their home state as they are. Let's go back to Vimal's kitchen, which he refers to as a hangout. To be clear, Vimal isn't a traditionalist. He eats meat, he's tried making quesadillas. Sometimes the guy who's willing to let a reporter into his kitchen isn't the guy who's doing things the way they've always been done.
Yes, I have got a big green egg, actually.
For the uninitiated, a big green egg is a Komodo-style clay grill manufactured by a company in Atlanta.
When I came to Charleston, I started with a small $19 metal grill. Slowly, when I got my hands on my, you know, cooking, then I got big green egg, and I just love that big green egg.
Vimal uses the big green egg for kebabs, seasoned with spices he buys from Charlotte.
This is my refrigerator, microwave, grill, and stack of a chair for people who come, and a big shelf to store all my tools for the cooking.
Atop the counter, there's a long line of beverage options.
Yeah, there is always a stock of good scotch, black label. Especially black label is always there because my dad loves it, so it's always there.
He serves the kebabs on styrofoam plates with yogurt sauce, tinted with turmeric and sugar, soft biryani rice, and chopped up red onions.
My kitchen is right at the end of the hotel, so where there is a minimum traffic of guests and any visitors, so, you know, it doesn't bother mostly anybody, but if somebody passes by sometimes, 97% of guests would say, well, can I try some?
Vimal's cooking is so good that the owner of Taste of India, Deepak Rathore, hears about it. Taste of India is a northern Indian restaurant in Charleston where motel owners sometimes get together. Vimal always wants Deepak to come for dinner. But even when he can't make it, there's usually a small crowd.
Normally, whenever I cook, I always have 2, 3, 4 friends. And sometimes, you know, those friends know that he will be cooking. So even I have forgotten to invite them, they'll just pop in, which is, you know, most welcome for them. There are a couple of retired police officers from North Charleston. And there is a lady, she worked at the Home Depot, and a couple of my other Indian friends. So we have a mixed crowd of, you know, different color. It's not only one brown, brown, brown. We have brown, black, white, yellow, everybody.
At first, Vimal set up his kitchen because he didn't want food aromas to seep into the public areas of his hotel.
Shortly, probably end of this year, I'll be moving out to a house.
Now, the house he's buying has a kitchen, so he doesn't have to worry. He can cook at home, miles from where his guests stay. But he's decided against shutting down his space at the hotel.
Probably I will miss it, but I'm still going to continue that my kitchen. So when I have, you know, company instead of at the house, I'll entertain them here. So I will still be on the property.
So if you're ever staying at the Days Inn and pick up the faint aroma of curry wafting from the back of the building, you may want to drop by the very last room in the hotel. There's no number on the door, but Vimal will probably be there.
Hannah Raskin is the food editor and restaurant critic at the Post and Courier in Charleston, South Carolina. This story comes from the Southern Foodways Alliance podcast, Gravy. Thank you to Thomas Walsh for cutting it down to size for us. And the full episode is called Dinner at the Patel Motel and was produced by the SFA with the Post and Courier. And you can find it in all its glory at splendidtable.org.